Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and as he was going forth into the way, there ran one to him and kneeled to him and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? It is written, and Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, even God. It is written, It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is written, And the disciples were amazed at his words. Thou knowest the commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. When up to nightly skies we gaze, where stars pursue their endless ways, we think we see from earth's low clod the wide end of shining home of God. But could we rise to moon or sun, or path where planets daily run, still heaven would spread above us far, and earth remote would seem a star. 'Tis vain to dream those tracts of space, with all their worlds approach his face. One glory fills each rolling ball, one love has shaped and moved them all. We view those halls of painted air, and say thy presence makes them fair. But dearer still to thee, O Lord, is he whose thoughts with thine accord.
For God.
rich young ruler. A rich man came and asked the Lord Jesus, "Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" There is no doubt the most important question anyone can possibly ask, and this man came to Jesus, the right person to ask it. I have to stop right here and now and say without going further, if you have any desire about life after this world, go to the right source. The source is Jesus. The Apostle John said at the end of his account of the life of Christ, "These things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life in his name." The New Testament is the last will and testament of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the only source of salvation. He himself has said, "No one cometh unto the Father but by me." Not only that, but Peter said, "There is therefore now no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Some people might ask, "But don't you think other religions offer the same promise?" Ladies and gentlemen, it does not make any difference what we think. Jesus said, "All authority had been given unto him." Now look at that question again. What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? It was reported one time that the most frequently asked question each day is the question, "What time is it?" The Scripture gives the best answer to that question. Hosea said, "It is time to seek the Lord." Now this man asked, "What shall I do?" He evidently believed that you had to do something to be saved, and that being rich was not the answer. He was rich. Money can buy a bed, but it cannot buy sleep. Money can buy medicine, but it cannot buy health. Money can buy a house, but it cannot buy a home. Money can buy food, but it cannot buy an appetite. So he said, "What good thing must I do that I might inherit eternal life? What good thing shall I do?" Many will tell you there is nothing to do. Well, Peter told the penitent believers on the day of Pentecost to save yourselves from this crooked generation. There is definitely something you have to do. What good thing must I do? He had the idea if we were good enough, we would inherit eternal life. "Tell me about that one good thing, Lord, and I'll do it." There's a catch to that. The Scripture teaches that no man is good even at his best. Paul describes the human rascal in Romans when he says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They have all turned aside. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not so much as one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of the asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the ways of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." And then, ladies and gentlemen, to cap it off, Paul said, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." What good thing shall I do? It is not enough to say, "Be good, and you will go to heaven." What little good you are and can do is not good enough. Some other remedy is needed. Now, Matthew tells us this man was rich. Mark says he was young, and Luke says that he was a ruler. Think of it. Rich, young, and a religious leader who, as it will turn out, had morals that cannot be questioned. Most would say that such a man as this does not lack anything. He is a shoe-in for heaven, just as he is. And besides all that, we are told that the Lord loved him. Many say that since God loves us, he would never damn anyone to hell. Here is a man of whom it actually says God loved him. And he is going to tell him that he lacks one thing that will keep him out of heaven. Now, before the Lord answered this question, he had to set this young man straight on something. This young man had called him Jesus, good master. Did he know what he was saying when he called Jesus good master? Jesus reminded him that there is no one who is good but God. Are you calling me God? Then there's another dimension to that term good. Since Jesus was made in the likeness of men and took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, found in fashion as a man, what does calling him good master say for his lifestyle in the flesh? Paul says he was in all points tempted like as we are and yet without sin. So to call Jesus good master is to recognize him as living a perfect life in the flesh and also to recognize him as the second member of the Godhead, co-creator of the universe. He is good master, both from the standpoint of his godhood and from the standpoint of his manhood. Good master. Now a word about the rich man himself. There came one running and kneeling before him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? This man who came to Jesus came on the run. Run is not usually the verb that we use to describe religious action on the part of any individual. Crawl seems to fit the action of serving the Lord in most cases. Running to Jesus is an unusual spiritual exercise. He was zealous. Not only this, but he was reverent in his approach to the Master. He ran and kneeled before him. Ladies and gentlemen, kneeling will always keep you in good standing in the sight of God. Then there's something else about him. Luke tells us this rich man was a ruler. He was a religious leader. Now think about that. He was religious, devout, zealous, a faithful worshiper, and yet something is missing. He wants to know what he must do to inherit eternal life. Do you know anybody like that? A person who is in services every Sunday, and something is missing. He reminds me of the church member one time who fell asleep in a haystack, and the haystack caught on fire. This church member awakened and said, I always did think I was going to hell. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He knew he needed to do something. He was on the right track. No one can be saved until he realizes that he's lost and needs to do something. One man wrote one time and said, he got lost listening to this broadcast while driving down the road and drove 40 miles out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, actually, that's what we are trying to do on this program. We want all who listen to this broadcast to realize they are lost if they're traveling the broad way that leads to destruction, where there are many that enter in thereby, and we want them to turn off on the narrow road that leads to life eternal. The answer of Jesus was very simple. According to Mark, Jesus told him, thou knowest the commandments. Jesus knew this man was not ignorant. The Lord says, you already know my word. You know the commands. The rich young ruler is like a lot of people today. They cannot plead ignorance. They know the demands of the word of God. And to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The rich young ruler wanted to know one thing he needed to do. He was saying, Jesus, tell me that one thing and I will do it. Jesus told him to do not one thing, but six things. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Some today may ask the same question. What one thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? And they are surprised to find out that it is not just one thing, but six things are involved in the salvation process. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior includes six things. Faith comes by hearing, then believing, repentance, confession, immersion for the remission of sins, then faithfulness unto death. Do all six things if thou would enter into life. Some still persist, what one thing shall I do? Shall I believe and leave off repentance? Shall I repent and leave off baptism? Shall I believe and repent and leave off baptism? Shall I be baptized and leave off the repentance? What one good thing shall I do to be saved? The question, what must I do to be saved and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, includes all of those elements. Jesus said, sell all you have. In one sense today, many have already sold all they have. They have sold the people on the idea that the church is the playground and not a battleground. No longer is the advice of Paul heard when he said, put on the whole armor of God, or rather, put on your picnic clothes for service on Sunday, but don't dress like that when you go to work on Monday. Many have been sold on the idea that if the loaf and the cup won't draw the attendance of the faithful, coffee, donuts, and hot chocolate will. Some sell all, even to the extent of selling out the Lord. What good thing and what one thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus told him to go and sell that which he had and give to the poor, and come, follow me. Jesus did not tell everyone who came to him to give up everything. Zacchaeus said, Lord, I will give you 50%. The half of my goods I give to the poor. Lord, I will give you half of all I have. Jesus said, sounds like a good deal, I'll take it. The reason the Lord told the rich man here to give everything was because this rich man did not have any money. The money he thought he had him, and spiritual surgery was needed to save his life. With him, it was all or nothing at all. No matter who you are, salvation is going to cost you something. What is there in your life that stands like a brick wall between you and salvation? What is it there that you are not willing to give up that will keep you out of heaven? Remember, Jesus told the apostles that it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It seems that it is impossible for a rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief to enter the kingdom of heaven as far as men are concerned. But with God, all things are possible. The only way for a rich man or any man to go to heaven is by an act of God. The act of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But even an act of God could not move this man to obey. He went away sorrowful. We refer to an earthquake as an act of God, and there's a lot of power in an earthquake. An earthquake has enough power to postpone a World Series game for one day years ago in California. Who would ever dream that an earthquake had that much power in America? I would have been surprised if there was enough power in an earthquake to postpone a Little League game. But an earthquake was not enough power to loosen the purse strings of the rich young ruler that Jesus was talking about. They say a tornado is an act of God. The tornado has great power. Back in the 70s, a tornado wiped out much of Xenia, Ohio. Now, that is great power. But it was not enough power to loosen the purse strings of the rich young ruler that Jesus was talking about. They say that a hurricane is an act of God, and it has great power. But that power is not enough to loosen the purse strings of the rich young ruler. The only act of God that can loosen the purse strings of the filthy rich and the filthy middle class and the filthy poor class is the power, the overwhelming power of the Holy Spirit. Scripture speaks of the principle of holding back the tithe from the Lord as robbing God. Ladies and gentlemen, if some folk robbed the bank of as much money as they have robbed from God, their picture would be on the wall of every post office in the United States, and some of them would be on the list of the 10 top most wanted by the FBI. It was stated on one news broadcast that the per capita giving of all denominations across the board was 2%. Evidently, most church members think the Lord and His church are not worth very much. Heaven is a real nice place, but it can't be all that great. The decision of the young ruler is very popular. I'll take the world, then leave off heaven. Actually, if you read the story of the rich young ruler, your ticket to heaven will cost you everything you've got. So give it all you've got, time, talent, and treasure. Perhaps it is warning enough to point out that there is one sin that most church members will never confess. We ask God's forgiveness for many things. Ladies and gentlemen, did you ever fall upon your knees and beg God to forgive you for being a stingy skinflint in your giving to the Lord's work? The reason you haven't is because you always say, "Well, I'm giving all I can afford." The reason it is difficult for a rich man to go to heaven, and millions of us are rich in varying degrees in America, is the words of Jesus when he said, "The care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." Many a person is like the man with the full barns who said, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night is thy soul required of thee." One preacher friend of mine, now gone on to glory, said, "We all have our little red barns." Ladies and gentlemen, how much are you piling up in your little red barn? How many of you would like to go into eternity today with the Lord's money in your pocket? Remember, Jesus said, "Where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also." Mark tells us the young man went away sorrowful because he was one that had great possessions. He wanted to go to heaven, but he didn't want to go badly enough. Many, like the rich young ruler, want to go to heaven, but how much do you want to go? The bottom line of the young man's decision was, "I would rather go to hell than part with my present lifestyle. I would rather go to hell than give up drugs. I would rather go to hell than give up pornography. I would rather go to hell than give up my booze." A noted and highly learned professor one time was asked, "What is your ambition?" He said, "My ambition is to go to heaven." Perhaps it would count more on most Americans if I told you the story of the sports-conscious person, of that ball player one time years ago, who was asked by the reporters, "What is your ambition?" They thought he would say something about to steal a certain number of bases, or something perhaps about a certain batting average. He said, "My ambition is to go to heaven." When the reporters chided him and said, "What do you mean, go to heaven?" He said, "Gentlemen, if there is no heaven, life is not worth living." The watchword of Paul in Colossians is, "Set your affections on things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and not on the things of the earth. And when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also be manifested with him in glory." Now when Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. What then shall we have? Lord, what's in it for us? That's the question we all might ask. When you think of following Jesus, what's in it for you? One noted singer of gospel music defected from the gospel to sing popular music. An interviewer asked him on television why he switched, and he said, The Lord did not pay too good. That may be true. Sometimes the Lord may not pay well, but ladies and gentlemen, you can't beat the retirement. Now, this concluding thought on the rich young ruler. He asked a very personal question. It is as personal as you can get. The devil tries to get people to focus on other questions. One man told me he would become a Christian if I would tell him who was Cain's wife. That man died years later without Christ. As far as I know, because his mind was focused on Cain's wife and not on the cross. Another man lost his focus when he said he would become a Christian if I would identify the mark of the beast. The devil will focus the attention of some on the religion of their dead parents and ask, What happened to my parents since their believing in Christ and repentance was not followed by immersion? Their attention is riveted on the tombstones of their parents, and they lose focus. They lose sight of their own salvation. No other question matters from the standpoint of eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, don't lose your focus on the most important question you can possibly ask. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.